When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're welcoming Alan Tonelson, our guide on manufacturing and trade these many years, about the tariff conversation with the People's Republic of China ongoing. Gordon, I recall there was a deal struck in January 2020, with Chinese dignitaries sitting in the Oval Office and President Trump and his counselors, Robert Lighthizer comes to mind, were grinning because there was a deal now signed with the Chinese. The pandemic hit, and I got lost in what happened to that deal. Was it ever fully executed by the Chinese, or is it the U.S. is just reimposing that deal on the Chinese? I just don't remember what happened. Good evening to you, Gordon.
Good evening, John. The Chinese, within months of the signing of that agreement, were failing to meet their required purchases of American commodities and goods. But this was not just a question of Chinese dishonoring the agreement. That agreement had self-enforcing mechanisms that the Trump and Biden administrations could have used and did not do so. So here's a question of a failure of the Chinese, but also a failure of American administrations as well.
We welcome Alan Tonelson to comment on then and now. Alan, there's trade talk in the winds between the People's Republic of China and the U.S. based on a deal underway or being negotiated or perhaps has been drawn up in pencil, something like of that variety between the U.S. and China. What about the 2020 deal? Does that guide the nodding in Washington these days? Or are they making certain we don't have the same failure that we had in 20?
Hi, John, and hi, Gordon. And there's no question that China's record since that 2020 trade deal was signed should be a real cautionary tale to the Trump 2.0 administration, that it's really difficult, unless you've got major political will, to make China abide by the trade agreements that actually signs. And there's no question that Gordon is absolutely right. The Chinese failed to comply, and the Trump 1.0 administration did almost nothing about it. I would cite one big extenuating circumstance, and that was that right after that trade deal was signed, the COVID pandemic swept over this country, and certainly the president was awfully preoccupied with something else. But at the same time, this country should be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. And there was no effective enforcement of that deal, even though there was a very effective enforcement mechanism negotiated by Trade Representative Lighthizer, which was basically, if the Chinese violated it and if the U.S. retaliated, or the only Chinese option was walking out, which he knew they weren't going to do because they needed this trade deal more than the United States did.
Gordon, you have a question for Alan.
Alan, we fast forward. We're now again talking to China about a trade deal. There is some hint that a new trade deal will look like the phase one arrangement of January 2020. The deadline that the Trump administration has imposed for this new trade deal with China is August 12th. Do you think we will have a pact with the Chinese by that date?
I think based on the record of this administration or the Trump 2.0 administration so far, I think all we're going to have is some kind of a either preliminary deal or framework deal, call it what you will. The broad outlines might be established. I think there will be critical details that will be left to future talks. The big problem that the United States faces right now is that President Trump went on this trade offensive versus China, which was long overdue and very badly needed, but he didn't cover his rare earths base, and the Chinese have used their near monopolization of the rare earths industry, the entire supply chain, as very effective leverage in trade negotiations with the United States, to the effect that President Trump even walked back some very important technology export controls that he had put on earlier this year.
Alan, what is your recommendation to the administration? Is there something they left undone in 2020? Some mechanism outside of just trust that would be useful here?
Well, the 2020 mechanism was not simply trust. What Lighthizer managed to negotiate was an agreement by which the Chinese essentially forfeited any legal right to retaliate against any U.S. tariffs that were placed on their products. To my knowledge, that enforcement mechanism still exists. And I don't think that the Chinese themselves really believe that they have that much more purely trade leverage over the United States than they had back in 2020. Although, like I said, that rare earths issue is has been a major impediment toward a much tougher U.S. stance. There are U.S. alternatives. They are being pursued. I think that China rare earths advantage is going to steadily be a wasting asset going forward, but we're not there yet. And so I think we're going to have perhaps a great many announcements of trade progress and progress on related issues like fentanyl. But I think that a final deal with all of the crucial details nailed down, I think that's really quite a ways off.
Gordon, you have a question for Alan.
Alan, another part of this puzzle are the discussions between Washington and Brussels over a trade deal. Does that stand right now, and how does that affect our negotiations with Beijing on trade?
There's no doubt at this point that both sides, the U.S. and European Union, have been playing chicken here. I do believe that the United States has even more leverage vis-a-vis the European Union on trade matters than it's got on China. And I do think that President Trump, I do think that his first instincts will be to hang tough. At the same time, because China has been so determined to flood global markets with tidal waves of its manufacturing exports, which are, of course, all heavily subsidized, and that threaten the manufacturing bases of countries all over the world, I think it might be time for the president to more energetically explore the prospect of some kind of a grand bargain by which the United States and its main trade partners start to act together jointly to turn back that tide of China exports. And that's going to involve some concessions by the United States, but it's also going to involve major concessions by the Europeans also, whose markets still remain much more closed to U.S. products than vice versa.
The proverb, trust but verify, initiated by Ronald Reagan when he signed with the Soviet Union. Do I say correctly, don't trust, verify for the Chinese? Is that where we are?
There's no question about that. And I do think that Trade Ambassador Lighthizer did follow that advice very closely during Trump 1.0. The question is, since he's gone, unfortunately, from the Trump 2.0 administration, will that advice be followed as rigorously? And again, there is that rare earths question hanging over these talks.
Alan Tolleson, our guide on trade and manufacturing these many years. We're going to turn to manufacturing next. The Chinese are boasting to the Wall Street Journal about something called the dark manufacturing, the dark factories. What is that, and is it in America?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.